Blog Talk Radio.
Royal Dream. Royal Dream.
Up on my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on a bench and die. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buzzed like hives and fly to true ambition. Till them numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers old. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland and make all of you governments die.
Think of your crown, royal dreams, royal dreams. They try on me, run his armies, royal dreams, royal dreams. I ride into the mud, live no more fantasy. It's all about who you know, those you call family.
Rattle ride. Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, January the 8th. Tuesday, January the 8th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very, very important topic for you today. You know, yesterday I introduced part one of the series that I'll be doing on my pay-per-view channel for the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, so I decided not to do that series on this particular venue. So I will be doing part two of that series later on tonight, along with the tax series that I'm doing for everybody else, because that information is really deep, just like this information that I want to share with you today. So today we want to talk about the current reality that we live in. That's the result of the consequences of Haman Kano and what is called Chat Toth. It's another word where we get the word Doth in the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah talks about D-A-A-T-H, where we get the word D-A-E-T-H, death. The consequences of Chadath or Chatath. So Chatath or Chadath is a Greek word. It's a Greek word that gives us, I'm sorry, a Hebrew word that gives us the Greek word hamantano, that gives us the English word sin. So this planet, and I talked about this before when I talked about or in my book that I have, that's based on the Apocryphon of John, that's called the Cosmogrator, or Samael, the blind god. We also have, I have a book called, you know, Truth, that is hidden in plain sight. The exact title is Replacing Error with the Truth, Not a Truth. So I did that series a while back that broke down and revealed, explained, illuminated, and simplified how we on this earth are unknowingly, most of us, worshiping Satan, but we think it's actually the prime creator or the big G or source. Now, this is a very sensitive, dangerous topic because most of us have or come from the traditional background like myself, where we have been taught a specific system of overstanding, and rightfully so. But when Yahushua came on the planet, he did something, at least according to what we've been taught, that was given to us by the Helios Biblios, what we call the Bible, that was given to us by Constantine or the Council of Nicaea, who before that time, the books consisted of 80 plus books, and it was reduced down to 66 books. And we have those books today. Now, the books that existed before the reduction or before the Council of Nicaea, those books talked about something totally different than what we have today, because those books revealed, explained, illuminated, and simplified what most of us are ignorant to today, and that is the blind God. So the creator or the archon of this harmonious arrangement is what I call a fallen thief. The Bible or the Apocryphon of John calls it Samael. We call it Lucifer. It is an inferior dark entity, for lack of a better term, that's incapable of exclusively producing what we call good. So when people ask you or ask me, why does bad things happen to good people? Or why does evil exist in this world? Why do this, for example, I was watching this thing on Facebook where this senator, Caucasian senator, was explaining the economic gap when it comes to mortgages for African Americans. And she had the numbers and she broke down the history since the United States, been in the United States, that they have purposely set out a system kind of like what Margaret Sanger did with eugenics and Planned Parenthood to basically rid the world of what she called a virus called the black man or the black race. And so they are all, now again, this is on Facebook. It's a Senate hearing where this senator, I forgot her name. If you want me out, if you email me and I'll send you the video, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com, or it's floating around on Facebook where she says, now again, this is proof. This is not hearsay. This is not fiction. Everything that I talk about, I can document and I can prove everything, even the little green men, everything. Now, just because you and I may not be aware of this harmonious arrangement, that this is a consequence of injustice. You live in an environment that is the consequences of choosing, although you may not remember, or maybe it was your ancestors, however you want to make it palatable. It talks about this in all of the text that was taken out, specifically the secret book of John and the secret revelation of John, which is called the Apocryphon of John in the Nahamadi text. Now, let's say you don't believe in the Nahamadi text, you don't believe in the Apocryphon of John, you don't believe in the secret book of John, you don't believe in the book of Enoch, you don't believe in the book of coming forth by day and by night, you don't believe in the book of the secret revelation of John. Let's say you don't believe in none of these books, but you do believe in the Helios Biblios. Oh, okay, good, because I got a plethora of scriptures in the Helios Biblios that can prove. So Jesus came into this world. He came that you may have life and life more abundantly. In fact, when he did what he did, he took away the keys. He took away the sting of death. Now, 2 Corinthians, I like the way 2 Corinthians breaks it down. So if you understand this, then everything in life makes sense. If you can understand this, you will understand, okay, why do they give us cow's milk to drink? If you can understand this, you can understand why they give us cow's milk to drink. How come you can't buy cereal? If you understand this, you can understand why is there a flammable carcinogenic inside of, like, most cereals. If you can understand this, you can understand why is there formaldehyde in baby powder. If you can understand this, you can understand why is there genetically modified organisms inside of our food? Why is there fluoride in the water? If you can understand this, why is there chemtrails? Why would the government want to hurt us? Why? Why is there a series called Surviving R. Kelly? How come R. Kelly ain't in jail? Why? What about Ronstein and what about all of the Hollywood elite? Why is there such a thing called Hollywood that's named after the holly tree? Why is there a holly tree? Why do we celebrate New Year's on January instead of New Year's? New Year's is really on March, like the spring equinox, like March. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday on the 25th when he probably was born around in March? Why do we have the Gregorian calendar that's based upon the Gregorians or the Gregori? Those were the fallen ones. So why is it that we eat a traditional slave diet? Why is it that black people around the globe, not just in America, anywhere where there is a little bit of melanated, you know, Puerto Ricans, Asians, you know, Hispanics, y'all too. Y'all already know. Look what your boy Trump is doing right now with the dream, getting away with the Dream Act and all this stuff. Why is it? Why does racism exist? How come we just can't all get along? Why do we kill animals in a state of fear? Why can't we, if we're going to eat meat, how come we can't raise the cattle healthy? You know, how come we can't, you know, do it humanely? Why did you ever seen the slaughterhouses? Why do we butcher cows? Like, there was the one dude that kicking cows in the head, and why is that evil in this world? Why does dudes fondling little boys? Why do priests fondle altar boys? Why do they take a vow of celibacy anyway? When, you know, that is promoting pedophilia. You tell a man in his prime he can't have sex, but then you surround him with a bunch of little boys. What do you think he's going to do? Why do we do what we do? Like, and these are people that are educated men. We got people with multiple PhDs. Look what's going on in Congress right now. So the government is in a partial shutdown. Notice the areas that are not funded all affect poor people. Food stamps, government housing. How come the poor people are getting kicked again? But the rich, Congress, they put it on hold because I guess people found out that they were just getting ready to give themselves a raise at the time they shut down the government. Why does Congress, do you know that you serve one term in Congress, you get paid for the rest of your life? Do you know that Congress has a different health care system than you and me? Why does Congress treat us like lepers and or like peasants? Why does all of this evil exist if we have a good God? Now, these are all the questions that I had when I was a little young whippersnapper and, you know, growing up, and the Reverend Dr. Bishop couldn't ask us. They born, sit down, and shut up. You know, we want you to know. If God wants you to know, he'll tell you. So I the Bible says ask. You know, seek, knock. So that's what I did. And when I did, I got answers. And the answers I got, I was like, nah, that can't be true. So like you, what I'm getting ready to tell you, you're probably going to reject. Now, remember, it's been like 30 years now when I came into the gnosis, if you want to use that term, of the, not a, my cookies got like messed up. Like that can't be true. And then I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, and it says, and God prepared us for this very purpose, and he has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. So we got something that says, hey, something's coming, dude, and the way you know something is coming because you got something. What do we got? Spirit. Then he says, therefore, we are always confident, although we know that we are at home. We are at home in the body. We are at home in the body. We are at home in the body. But we are away from God. So when you're in the body, that's where you're supposed to be. When you're not in your body, you're with God. So being in the body separates you from God, which is good. So being in this body separates me from good. Okay, now, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm in the shed. So how come we in this body, and I thought we were the body. So we are in the body, but we're not the body. Jesus said this way, I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. Okay, what does that mean? So if you're in this world, but you're not of this world, where of you? Where are you from, homie? Don't y'all have those questions, or am I the only one? And then I really did some research, and I wrote a whole book on the research that I did called I Am Too Human. And when I was doing my research, I got stifled. My brain started to hurt because I saw inside the Bible that this body that I'm in is a prison. So why am I in prison? What did I do? I don't even much remember doing anything wrong. Do y'all remember doing anything wrong on a cosmic plane, on a cosmic scale that would result for you being in a cosmic prison? Why are you in prison? What did you do? What did your grandpappy do? Somebody did something wrong for us to be in this situation that we're in. Because, again, I can go on to prove to you that this world that we live in is not conducive to your health. At birth, as soon as you came out the womb, what happened to you? As soon as you came out the womb, they stuck you in your heel to get your blood type, and then they pump you full of vaccinations. As soon as you came out the womb, you were just wham, wham, and then they stuck you in the butt with a shot. And that vaccination shot was full of lead and contaminants to dumb you down. Why? From the time you're born until the time you die, they're trying to kill you. Who is they? Now, you mean to tell me we can put a man on the moon, but we can't cure, you know, certain diseases? Well, we got problems, brothers and sisters. Now, let me make sure you understand, this is by design. This is not by happenstance. Now, remember, you are not designed to die. You are programmed to die. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. You're not designed to die. You are programmed to die. Now, I got a question. Who programmed you and me to die? Because I want to live. Don't you? Okay, maybe, you know, in some other fashion or some other plane or something, but why are we programmed? It's called a telomere. Now, anybody don't believe me, I got some biological proof too. Now, if you don't want the biological, I got some physics. If you don't want the physics, I got some Bible. If you don't want the Bible, I got some ancient esoteric texts. One of them you should like. Now, this is a rehashing of many other series that I've done, a plethora of series on this topic, because I am still, you know, dumbfounded at the measure of or the willingness for us to walk in deception voluntarily. Because Yahushua has told us repeatedly over and over and over that friendship with this world makes you an enemy. It creates enmity with God. He says that it is the, you know, the pride of life. It is the cares of this world. It is the lust of the flesh. Those three things, the pride of life, the cares of this world, the lust of the flesh, it separates us from God. He also says, again, I have a 200-page book that I wrote based upon this theorem. It's not a theory. It's a theorem. That means it's a closed loop. That means that it's provable. Okay, Brother Will, what is it? Well, remember Romans, where it says that, in fact, let's read it again. I've been saying it a lot, but in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "For the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am too human." But in the real text, it doesn't use the word human. "A slave to sin. I don't really understand myself." See, the problem is we don't understand ourselves. Now, in the King James Bible, the word sin is mentioned 448 times in 389 verses. But do you know what sin is? I'm going to put all my money on the fact that you don't know. You probably think it's a moral issue. That's what you was taught, just like me. So it will behoove us to understand the consequences of our injustices that we've done. That's why you're here. That's the only way. You cannot be on earth unless you've been convicted of a cosmic crime, of a spiritual crime against a spiritual or a prime or a supreme or a etheric being. Somewhere, somehow, somebody in your bloodline, one of your ancestors, probably was you. Or I can only speak for myself. So I need to find out, what did I do? And then I need to find out how to be. Did I get up out of chill? Because if you want to, again, torture a bird, put him in a cage. If you want to torture a lion, put him in the zoo. If you want to torture a wild horse, put him in an infest area. If you want to torture a spirit, put it in a body. Now, Jude 6 says that we are chained in darkness, that our spirit is chained in the darkness. This darkness is called a dirt suit. Carbon is the chain. That's what it's carbon 7, that's carbon 14, and it's carbon 21. Carbonite is a great box or enclosure for hydrogen and nitrogen. I know I'm missing one of the three out. But it's a good place for for spiritual beings. So you are a spirit that is trapped inside of a body. Why? Why are you in this body? How come you're not out roaming the universe or doing whatever spirits do? What do spirits do? I don't know. We dropped from the sea of forgetfulness, so therefore none of us remember. So the first time that the word sin is mentioned inside the Helios Biblos is Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, "And thou dost well. Shalt thou not be accepted?" Hey, meaning, if you do well, should you be accepted? I think so. Then it goes on and it says, "And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And they or thou shalt rule over him." Now, if I had a couple of hours, I could break that down for you. But basically it's saying, if you do well, shouldn't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, something's at your door. Because you're not doing well. Since you're not doing well, whatever that something that's at your door, its desire is going to rule over you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Now, we know Genesis talks about those who from heaven came down to earth, saw the daughters of men, they went into them. We know the story of the Bene Hanakash. We know the story of the fallen ones. We know the story of Nephilim. We know the story of the giants all throughout the Bible. We know all the stories of Genesis chapter 1 creation versus Genesis 2 creation. Again, I've talked about that on many, many, many shows. So, again, this is old news. So we know the stories. We've read, you have my book, The Cosmogrator, so you know that Samael, that this is an unauthorized production. So you know, if you've listened to any of my teachings, you know that this is an unauthorized production. Now, maybe you have or maybe you have not heard of Dante's Inferno. Now, again, whether you believe it or not, that's between you and your God. All I'm simply over under an understanding that I hope that you over under and understand Dante's Inferno. Now, Dante's Inferno, there's different takes on that. You know, I think they made it into a movie. I know it's a book. And when we look at it, it's talking about basically hell. Now, it's really, 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 really important because different people say different things about different stuff. And the ability to do something called analysis, the ability to actually analyze something, the ability to take something and look at it objectively. So when we talk about anything, we have to look at it from a perspective of reason and logic. We got to take in all of the facts, and we got to exercise and use what I call common sense, even though we all know it ain't common. A lot of folk ain't got it. It's okay. I didn't have it for a long time either. I got some experiences in that, and that helped me. So when Galileo first calculated, if we want to use that word, the exact dimensions of hell, which is what Dante's Inferno is all about. And when they decided to, whoever they were, to say, okay, the Bible talks about how hell enlarges itself daily. So from a physicist perspective, the universe grows and it enlarges itself. Now, a lot of people, when they do their own research and they look at the abyss, and they talk about the abyss, the bottomless pit, and they talk about what's going on right now in Switzerland with Project CERN, and they are ripping the fabric of the universe. They're opening up the abyss. They're opening up the bottomless pit. They're opening up and they're releasing a baton that it talks about in the book of Revelations. Some people say, yeah, they're doing that. Some people say they're not. What I'm simply recommending that you look at is what we call, or what we define as hell, is separation from God, separation from good. And so when we talk about it, if you are a spirit, the Bible says that we are spirit beings. We are spirit. We are possession of a soul, and our soul is manifesting itself through a body. And if we go down to the core, the inner earth spirit, Dante's Inferno talks about the core or the inner earth, and there are dimensions or there are levels without getting into that study. But the reason that I mentioned that is because there has to be a dialogue or a consideration or an understanding that if you are going to separate bad beings, spirits, because energy cannot be created or destroyed. The Bible talks about how hell enlarges itself daily. And in Dante's Inferno, it talks about the nine circles or the nine realms or nine levels of hell, for lack of a better term. Now, in the Bible, we know hell, you know, it talks about Gehenna, which is actually a physical place outside of Jerusalem where they would throw out the trash and so on and so forth. But then also, there's other definitions for the word hell as well. And the reason, again, that I mention that is because when we look at these levels of hell, they are all associated with an emotion that is what we call the flesh. Now, there are the fruit of the spirit, and then there's the fruit of the flesh. Different fruit. Now, the word fruit is the result. And so the evidence that you are in heaven, or the evidence for me that you are in hell, is your emotion. Because many people have a lack of spiritual discernment, but they have a lot of emotional response. Now, this goes really deep, and you have to really think by taking yourself out of yourself and examining yourself. That's called self-analysis. Now, I do that every day. Now, if we look at these seven, you know, deadly sins that the Bible and, you know, other people talk about, each one of these seven deadly sins are equated to the seven layers of hell, or the seven deadly sins in Dante's Inferno. Again, depending on who you talk to, some say nine, some say seven. The number, to me, really is irrelevant. The point of it being is it's separation from God. So sin, for most of us, is separation from God. Now, we've got to get the correct definition based upon the Hebrew and the Greek. But I wanted to talk about briefly what's promoted by the dominant culture. Because, again, they want to give you different versions of the truth. They don't want they can't give you the original. Because then you would figure this out. And then that you would realize that, hey, this is an unauthorized production. And that you realize that everything that we got, again, is different versions of the same narrative. They write the narrative. They give you the narrative. They just change the characters. They give you lust. They give you gluttony. They give you sloth. They give you wrath. They give you greed. They give you envy. They give you strife or pride. Those are the seven layers or the seven dimensions. You have one of those emotions probably right now. Those are the emotions, because emotions are entities in motion. That's why it's called emotions. So emotions are E-M-O EM, electromagnetic. So the EM emotions attack the EM paths. You're supposed to have empathy, not emotions, because empathy is discernment. And emotions is discernment, meaning that you don't, it's the inability to discern. So you need to have spiritual sermon. You need to have like a spiritual sermon, so to speak. What does that mean? That means awareness. That means consciousness. That means a perspective that's based upon, again, the fruit of the Spirit. So the consequences of sin is life in a body, meaning you're separated from God. How do I know? I just read it in 2 Corinthians. Now, that's a plethora of other scriptures, but it says, and God has prepared us for this very purpose, separation from God, and he's given us a spirit as pledge of what is to come. So God knows that you're separated from him, but he says, you know what, I ain't forgot about you, homeboy. In fact, I'm going to give you a deposit to show you I'm coming back to get you. Now, I read this again, and again, this is the foundation of everything that I do. John 10, when Jesus said, okay, I'm the good shepherd. My sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me. Then he said that I am coming back for the other shepherds, sheep. Now, that's what Jesus said. Or that's inside the Hebrew Bible. So there's the other shepherds, sheep, that Yahushua was coming back for. Now, he got his sheep. But then he also says in John 10:16 that, hey, I know that there's other sheep out there in the sheepfold. And he said that there really is only one flock, that like there's really only one God, just that there's really only one element, that there's really only one color. But when you shine color, white light through a prism, what happens? How many colors you get? Seven. How many deadly sins are there? Seven. How many days a week are there? Seven. Now, I can go on with the law of seven, the law of 12, but seven. That's why I talk about the number seven and number 11. They struggle because where this is at, this is inside of your body. So John 10:16 says something that again, when I was on January 1st of 2009, when I was ready to exit stage left, God sent me to John 10. Or somebody sent me to John 10, and I read it, and I got encouraged. And then I decided, you know, any time the exit stage left, that's hope for me. Because John 10:15 says, just as the farmer knows me, and I know the, father, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. This is Yahushua talking about, talking. Now, he says he got other sheep that are not of this fold. Then he says, I must bring them. That's probably you, boo-boo. I know it's me. He says, I must bring them in as well, and they will listen to my voice. Now, y'all know I love that word voice, because most of my teachings I get from that word voice, which is phone, P-H-O-N-E-S, which is spelled, come from another Greek word, phanao, P-H-A-I-N-O, which means tone, T-O-N, frequency, wave of vibration, which means language. So there is a linguistical God that is using phone, that is using tones, frequencies to separate you from God. You gotta tune in. You're on the wrong frequency. What is your frequency? You're on one of these seven frequencies that keep you in hell. You need to get on one of the seven frequencies that get you to heaven. You're on the wrong frequency, brother. You're listening to the wrong voice. You're responding with your ego, and you're not responding with your spirit. You're responding with your emotions, because remember, it is our emotions, electromagnetic, instead of being a E-path electromagnetic. We need to be on the electromagnetic, doing to others as we would have them do unto you. That moves you in the direction of heaven, away from the direction of hell. Dante's Inferno. Now, all of this is inside of the ancient text, but they took that out. So now we just left with, we don't know what it means. We got the word God and the word Lord, and all deities are covered by those two titles. So we don't know whether we're talking about the good one or the bad one. So we got to have discernment, not emotions. But most of them, I know they got emotions, but they don't have no discernment. Because discernment comes from experiences. But you can't have no experiences because if you do bad things, you're a leper. You're a bad guy, you know. You're going to get kicked out of whatever club. Why? You did bad things, brother. But I read somewhere, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, brothers and sisters. But I did read in the book of Romans, and there's a lot of other books as well, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you beat yourself up because you're doing things in your flesh, but your flesh is not under your control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. So your flesh did something, and you feeling something. Why are you doing that? Because what you're feeling is one of the seven levels of Dante's Inferno. It's what we call hamantano in the Greek. But why are you doing that? Well, that same verse in the New Living Translation reads, the old sinful nature loves to do evil. Notice it's old. Notice it's sinful. Notice it's a nature. It's a disposition. It loves to do evil. It just don't do evil. It loves to do evil 24/7, 365. So we got a conundrum. Half of you wants to do good. The other half of you wants to do bad. So what are we going to do? Well, thankfully, we got a remedy. Now, the verse continues in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. And your choices are never free from this conflict. So every day you wake up, I don't care how great you are. So while we are all demonizing R. Kelly, really we're no different from R. Kelly. We're just doing it on a smaller scale. They just, again, if you had R. Kelly money, I guarantee you, you would be in R. Kelly's position. Why? Money just amplifies what's already there. Let me say that again. Money doesn't cause nothing. Money is an amplifier. Money increases what's already there. If good is there, money increases it. If evil is there, money increases it. If both is there, money increases. So money increases spiritual discernment. Money also increases emotional responses. Don't believe me? Wait till you get some money. See how you handle it. Okay, well, Brother Will, that sounds great, brother, but what shall we do? Well, brothers and sisters, we have to wrap our brain around the narrative. Because, see, everybody's looking at the picture. Nobody's questioning the frame. Everybody's looking at the picture. Donald Trump's in the office doing cray-cray stuff. Let's look at the frame. Who put Donald Trump together? All of the presidents before him. What are presidents? Why do we even got them? How was the United States? How was the United group states ruling dispositions? How did this group of dispositions create the United States of America? But it's not spelled M-A-M-E-R-I-C-A. It's really spelled A-M-E-I-K-K-A. Where do you think that K-K-K comes from? Why do you think we live in a harmonious environment of organized supremacy, Caucasian white supremacy? But it's organized. It's not individual. So there are individual good white folks, but the system, the harmonious arrangement, not too much for you, boo-boo, if you're not Caucasian. But it's organized. How do you know? Go to the bank and ask for, if you're black, if you're Hispanic, if you Puerto Rican or got any melanin, you got 1% melanin, go to the bank and ask for a loan. See what happens. Go try to get a mortgage. See what happens. It's systematic. Now, you know. You don't have to read this in the book. You know in your gut it's wrong. I know good white people will tell me all the time, yeah, brother, you know, it's system is kind of messed up. So, but the individual can't do anything about it because it's systematic. It's a system that's in place. So this system is what I'm talking about. What is the consequences of this system? Detached attachment. That's the consequences. So what does that mean in English? Well, we are living in an environment where the God, the creator, if you want to use that term, It's the blind leading the blind, that the Bible talks about it. Now, in the Apocrypha of John, it says, thus the whole creation was made blind, in order that they being whoever created this harmonious arrangement, may not know God, who is above all of them. And because of the chain of forgetfulness, their sins are hidden from them. For they are bound with measures and with times and with moments since fate. We call it destiny. And its Lord is over them. The Apocryphon of John. Now, brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand, because see, you are programmed to die. You're not designed to die. And you're programmed to D-Y-E, but you're designed to D-I-E. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you are going to D-Y-E. If you do not understand what I'm saying and get this knowledge from somebody, that's the only way that you can D-I-E. See, if you D-I-E, you exit. You ain't got to keep changing colors and coming back. But if you don't get this information, you're going to D-I-E. Some people call it reincarnation. You can call it whatever you want. It's really called metempsychosis. I did the seven-hour series already. Again, look it up in the Greek. Look it up in the original text if anybody want to blow their cookies and curl their toes. But if not, hey, you're just going to keep D-Y-E-ing. Why? The host of rulers and demons plotted together. They mixed fire and earth and water together with four blazing winds. They melded, M-E-L-D-E-D, them together in great turbulence. And Adam was brought forth into the shadow of death. They intended to make him anew, this time from earth, water, fire, and wind, which are matter, darkness, desire, and the artificial spirit. This all became a tomb, which is a new kind of body. I read that from the Apocryphon of John. As I've said before, about 20 years ago, well, maybe 15, when I said that the celestial tomb is a... when I said a celestial... the terrestrial, that means dirt. Terrestrial tomb is a celestial womb. Or the terrestrial womb is a celestial tomb. What does that mean? Celestial, spirit. Terrestrial, dirt. Body, man. A terrestrial womb, a woman's womb, is a celestial tomb. When a celestial being gets demoted, dies, where he go? We call it a womb. That's what it says in the ancient text. That text is not ancient no more, because most people have never heard of it, or they have not read it. Now, common sense. Let's just say common sense. Nothing extravagant, you know. Nothing exuberant. Nothing outside of the normal. Nothing that's going to stretch your theology. Let's just do basic stuff, basic, like really basic. So you woke up this morning, and like me, I don't care what you ate this morning. It's designed to kill you. Even if you are a vegetarian, and you pick your food, they already got pesticides in the water and in the ground. So your food pulls its minerals and enzymes from the dirt. And your lettuce, your tomatoes, you know, your avocados and everything, no matter how great they are, no matter where you live at on this planet, the soil, because we don't adhere to the smita. We don't do the seven sevens anymore. Now, according to the Jewish tradition, the year of Jubilee, you know, 6 years you work, you do this. On the seventh year, you're supposed to let the land rest. You know any farmers that do that? If you do, email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Email address again, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. Send me their name, picture, because I need to go buy my food from them. If you know any farmer who still holds to the Shemitah and the year of Jubilee, email me today, masterteacher33.com@gmail. If you know any farmer on the freaking globe that still does that, or even teaches it, or even know about it, I don't know none. So we're, again, that is a universal spiritual principle. Now remember, that's a king. He has a kingdom, and he has keys. If you violate the keys, you suffer the consequences of violating those keys. Thus, the consequences of injustice, that the consequences of not living your life according to the king's keys, that's what we got right now. Everybody, we all, the Bible says that there is none righteous. That means that there's nobody who keep the keys. No, not one. Now, again, I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. It says that. In your Bible, it says that there is none. That means zero. That means me too. I mean, we're all in the same boat together, brothers. I ain't better than y'all. In fact, I'm probably worse. The Bible says that there is none. That means zero. Righteous. No, not one. Not even one? Like, damn. There got to at least be one. Come on, man. Brother Will, you're making that up. Okay. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we any better? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that the Jews and the Greeks alike are all under sin. I'm going to break that word down here just a second. As it is written, there is none right standing. Nobody standing in the right place. No, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. No. See me? I got a lot of understanding, but guess what? I'm still dumb as a box of rocks. Blind leading the blind. You cannot be on this planet unless you are a dumbed down spirit. That's the only way to exist on this planet. That's why we drink cow's milk. That's why we eat steak. That's why we eat eggs. That's why we eat meat. That's why we, drink water from faucets. That's why we go outside and breathe in the air that's freaking polluted with chemtrails by our government, meant to govern. So we have people in office that are meant to govern. They govern us. God, I can't find in the Bible where one man is supposed to govern another man. I can't find it. God gave us dominion over five kingdoms, but I cannot find where God gave one man dominion, the right to govern another man. So why do we have government? Because it's a Luciferian construct. It's not a biblical one. It's not a kingdom construct. It's a capitalistic construct. It's not based upon the king and the kingdom. So the Bible says that there is none right standing. No, not one. Now, I don't know about you, my brothers, and I don't know about you, my sisters, but that is a conundrum. Because I know a lot of people who are, I would say, are right standing. They're standing in the right place. They're good. They're hardworking people. They're, upright, moral. But the standard, that's the problem. See, the standard is not on this dimension. So we are comparing ourselves to blind. So, again, if I'm a one-eyed man, the one-eyed man is king in the land of the blind. A one-eyed man, he only got one eye, but everybody else ain't got no eyes. Guess what? The one-eyed man or woman is king in the land of the blind. Let me say it again. So you got a little gnosis. Hey, I'm Master Teacher 33. So a one-eyed man, yeah, he still only got one eye, but guess what? Hell, everybody else ain't got no eyes. So everybody think the guy with one eye, they think he's doing something great. No, he ain't doing nothing great either. He's still legally blind in one eye. But one eye is better than no eyes. But he's still missing an eye. So when you compare a one-eyed man to a two-eyed, all-power, all-knowing God, or when you compare it to the true standard, okay, that one-eyed man, he just as blind as everybody else. But the standard, see, you comparing yourself to me, Are you comparing yourself to your neighbor? Are you comparing yourself to the Reverend Dr. Bishop? Are you comparing yourself to the goal? You see, your standard, the standard is off. The standard, where's the standard? What do we got as a standard? We got Samael. Samael is our standard. Samael is a blind god. Samael is the god of this unauthorized production. Samael is the god of this world. He's the little g. He's the harmonious. Go read Ephesians chapter 6. It's inside your Bible. The prince of the air, the god of this world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Who do we fight against then? We're fighting against wickedness, spiritual, in high places. It's in the stratosphere. It's in the ionosphere. It's in the atmosphere. So what then? Are we better? Is the one-eyed man better? Romans chapter 3. Verse 8, what then? Am I better than you? The Bible says, no, you're not, Brother Will, sit down. So the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. Okay, Brother Will, so we got the consequences of sin. Okay, there are consequences because of sin. Well, we might know what we might want to know what that is. Okay, Genesis, as we said before, chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis 4, verse 7, it tells us this is where we went wrong. Our forefathers, who were probably us, they were just a different D-Y-E. Again, D-Y-E, same thing, just put in a different package. Oh, man, this stuff is so deep, but yet it's so shallow at the same time. Genesis 4, 7, if thou dost well, hey, I'm doing well, y'all, and I'm doing well, shalt thou not be accepted? Hey, I'm doing well, I should be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at your door. Okay. What is this sin that is lying at my door? And why is it at my door? I want to get rid of this crap. We need to find out what this sin is. Because this is what keeps us in Groundhog's Day. This is why you keep coming back. This is why you DYE. This is why the telomeres on your DNA is programmed for about 75. And at 75, they start deteriorating, so that way you exit. That's why you get gray hair. There's a thing called entropy. Now, how can a spirit that is, there's nothing but pure energy, it's just thought, how can thought die? If somebody knows the answer, how can a thought, T-H-O-U? Now, the observer determines what is observed. So if you are a spirit that has possession of a soul that is downloaded into a body, it ashes to ashes, dust to dust. When you die, your body goes back to the dirt. But your spirit goes back to the Father, or goes back to Source, or go back somewhere. So, where is that? And how come the spirit is in the body anyway? Spirit got down there because the spirit has to learn something. What's the spirit supposed to learn? Okay, let's look this up because it's that word again. That means the English word sin. Let's look it up in the Hebrew first. And then, let me pull this up. After the Hebrew, let's break it down in the Greek.
Hetos.
Let me pronounce it again because it has two definitions.
Hetos.
The first one, heta'ah. Very interesting Hebrew word spelled C-H, but it's pronounced like a K, K-H. So C-H-A-T-T-A-A-T-H. So that Hebrew word is where we get, and again, it goes a lot deeper than that. It just simply means that there is like, it's like the word blame. But it actually means guilt. So there is a guilt. So sin is a guilty feeling. So now that guilty feeling comes from somewhere. Sin is a habitual feeling. Sin is a, now again, this is Old Testament, Genesis obviously, first time the word sin is mentioned. It means that, okay, you feel something. It is an habitual feeling. That's the result of a penalty. So the feeling is a punishment. The punishment is the feeling. The punishment is not the act. Punishment is the feeling you get. We call it a conscience. So If you have a feeling when you do something wrong, you have a feeling, that's sin. That feeling, you should not have that feeling. Why do you got that feeling? Because you did that act. So sin is when your deposit that was given to you according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, that says, and God has prepared for us a very purpose, and he has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident. So this feeling takes away your confidence. Money is attracted to confidence. You don't have no confidence because you did something and you got a feeling, and that money removes itself anytime that feeling is present. Health removes itself anytime a feeling is present. Wealth removes itself anytime a feeling is present. Good relationships remove itself anytime that feeling is present. What feeling? Guilt. That's why you cannot have that feeling. So we got to get rid of that feeling. How do we get rid of that feeling? With spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment removes emotional response, feelings. Now, you have that feeling because it is punishment. If we were to break down this word with the seven layers, but for the sake of time, obviously I don't have time to go through all seven words that make up that one Hebrew word. We haven't gotten to the Greek. So when we look at it on the second base, really quickly before we go to the next Greek.
2398. Hata.
Hata. Hata. So that word hata means cleanse. So it's a feeling because of a wrong or a missing of the goal or a path that incurs penalty. It means to bear loss. So, sin is a feeling that comes from when you miss the way, go the wrong way, forfeit your path. When you miss the goal or the path, EM path, empathy, the path that you're supposed to be on, a.k.a. the Greek one. Again, this is Hebrew. Now we're getting ready to go to the Greek. Now remember, this is why you're on this planet. You're on this planet because you have a feeling. You got the feeling because you missed your way. You missed the mark. Something you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be on a path A, but you're not on path A. You're on path B. You're on the wrong path. You have a feeling. You produce an emotion. You're trapped in a dirt suit. Because, remember, God is spirit, discernment, consciousness, love. And love and that feeling you got, they are all in water. Those two can't, they don't mix. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you, man. If you can get this, change your life. That feeling you got, it is different from the one that God got. God said, I don't recognize that feeling. So that feeling can't hang out with God, that feeling that you got. Now, you got that feeling from somewhere. Where did you get that feeling from, that act that you did? So if you can remove that feeling, but you can't remove that feeling because you can't stop that act. How do I know? Did you read Romans 7? Oh, do we got to read it again? Okay, we don't got to read it again, right? Okay, good. Why? Because the body does the act, but the brain produces the feeling. Why? Why is your brain taking responsibility for your body? Because somebody told you. Now, let me say that again, because, see, the thing that separates me from you is I don't have that feeling that you got. That feeling that you got, I don't have it. Now, I used to have it, but then I realized that that's a trick. And I realized that I'm up against a cunning devil. He's smooth. So I went to work for him to figure out his, you know, the way he operates. And now that I figure out the way he operates, I come back and I tell everybody and their grandmother if they're willing to listen. Now, remember, you can't get rid of the feeling because your body can't stop sinning. That's why you got something called grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, grace is a gift, but you think you got to pay for it because somebody told you. Now, you keep thinking that, you're going to keep producing that feeling. It will never go away. You will never return back to source. Guaranteed. Even physics say the same thing. The universe responds to feelings. And since feelings are more powerful than individual thoughts, you bring about what you feel about, because feelings are only produced after something is frequently repeated. and emotionally charged. That produces what you and I call feelings. But how did we get these feelings? Sin. Okay. How do we get rid of this sin, brother? Well, the body sins, not the spirit. The spirit doesn't sin, the body does. Okay, we got a problem there. But my body's going to always sin. So what we got to do? Well, let's look up the definition of the word of sin in the New Testament. So the first time the word sin is mentioned in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Now, again, if you can wrap your brain around this, you will walk in newness of life. Because you're in this world because of this. The consequences, remember, this is why you're here in this prism, P-R-I-S-N, which is a prison, P-R-I-S-O-N, planet, which is a P-L-A-N, planned, N-E-T, net. So the enemy has a plan to put light in a net. Because he ain't got no light. He needs yours. If you keep feeling, he going to keep netting. As long as you're feeling, he netting. Now, I didn't read about this in the book. I actually lived it. Okay, well, Brother Will, what else you got? Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 reads, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times 70. So Peter's like, okay, God, my brother is sinning. How many times should I forgive him? Jesus said, Matthew 18:22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants." Kingdom, king, based upon keys. So Jesus says, in the kingdom, I'm the king, and I got these keys. That says, you should forgive your brother who sins. If you do this, you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. Now, I know right now somebody making you feel bad because of what you did. But they don't understand the kingdom keys that was written by the king that says 7 times 70 is the number of times that you should forgive. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means it starts with the self. You forgive yourself. Okay, of what though, Brother Will? What does that word in the Greek? So let's look this word up in the Greek.
Strong's G-264. Hamartano, hamartano.
Hamartano, hamantano, hamartano. So hamartano is why you are on earth. Once you stop hamartanoing, you can go home. But as long as you are hamartanoing, you're going to stay here. You're going to DYE. As long as you are engaging in the act of hamartanoing, you will stay chill. But the moment that you stop hamartanoing, you will D-I-E. But as long as you hamartanoing, you're going to D-Y-E. Guaranteed. So we might want to know what that means. Okay, hamartano in the Greek simply means to be without your share in. It means to miss the mark. Again, do not believe me. Do not believe me. Do not believe me. Do not. Go to your Bible source. Pull out your Strong's lexicon and Strong Concordance, Bible Gateway, eSword, whatever you use. Look up Strong Concordance number G264 for yourself. You got to see it for yourself. You cannot take my word. The devil will steal it. You got to see it. For when you see it with your own eyes, it changes spirit. You got to see it yourself. You cannot take no man's word for it. See it yourself. When you look at it yourself, when you say that Greek word hamantano yourself, when you look it up in Hebrew, when you read the definition yourself, it changes your spirit. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's how you get your destiny back. This is how you DIE. This is how you get out of this dirt shit. This is how you freaking leave this rock. This is how you get off this prison planet. This is how you stop returning in this body. Hamantano means you missed the mark. Hamantano means you're living your life without your share. Hamantano means you're living your life without Christ. Remember, the word Christ means the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. You got an office. I call it a diaconia. That's your service. That's your ministry. You're living your life without doing what you're designed to do in heaven. So God send you down here, and until you find your purpose and you start doing it here, you cannot go back there. He does not want irresponsible creators up there. He do not want you up in heaven doing your own thing. He do not want no damn cancer cells in heaven. You cannot be a rogue cell. You cannot just run around and do your own thing. You cannot just do whatever the hell you want. You just can't go walking around all willy-nilly. You cannot walk into another man's house and do what you want. So you are missing. The word means to wander from the path of uprightness. It means to violate God's law. Wandering, my brother, wandering, my sister, that is sin. Sin is living your life without your lot and without your share. Let me say that again. Somebody should write that down. Sin is living your life. Sin is being in this freaking dirt suit without purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Hamartano. That word must be buried in your skull. You're missing the mark. It means you have no share in your inheritance. Sin means you're living your life without no destiny. Jesus came down, and one thing Jesus did, he always said, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. Jesus knew, I am not going to DYE. I'm going to DIE because I got a purpose, and I'm going to fulfill it. If you're wandering around today and you don't know your purpose, you are in grave danger, because if you exit stage left, you will come back in this dirt suit. Brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of my life and existence is to assist you with your mark, to finding your share, to finding your lot, to finding your destiny, to finding your service, to finding your ministry, and for you to fulfill and for you to stop wandering around. Because I've never met a man in prison who had purpose. Everybody on earth, they're here because they don't know why they're here. Isn't that not the number one question everybody asks? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Those two questions I've answered. I know why I'm here and I know where I came from, because, again, if you did not come from, you can't go back. That's biblical too. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew where he was going back to. That is why he was able to live the life that he lived. That's why he was able to walk the path that he walked. And that is why he was able to fulfill the destiny that he fulfilled, because he knew who he was. He knew whose he was. He knew whose, W-H-O-S-E. So who's your daddy? Oh, you don't know? You're in trouble. What's your purpose? Oh, you don't know? You're in deeper trouble. You got one goal. You got the only reason you're on earth. There's only one reason that you're doing this. That is a deposit. Breath. You got breath in your lungs because the Father says, oh, man, I hope he figured out. I'm going to give him 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. I'm going to give him 90 years. How much time you got? You got that amount of time. Can you tell me what you do in your body that benefits your spirit? Just one thing. Please email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. If you can explain to me one thing you do in your body that benefits your spirit. Just one. Your body's not your friend. I know it's great. It's awesome. I've been saying this for years. This is tough. This harmonious arrangement, the earth, I walk outside, I see the beauty of it. Now, God's going to transmute all of this stuff, but until he do, it's not your friend. Everything that we do, why do you eat what you eat? That's not your friend. Why do you drink what you drink? It's not your friend. Why do you watch what you watch? It's not your friend. So, Brother Will, what are we supposed to do? Do we just supposed to stop? No. You keep eating. You keep doing everything you do. You keep sinning because you sin with your body. But with your brain, with your spirit, with your mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect, those five things, with your mind, with your will, with your emotions, with your imaginations, with your intellect. Oh, man, you better tap into source, homeboy. You better tap into source, homegirl. With your body, I don't really care. Why? Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Basically, don't really do it. It's no spiritual good. Because what you do in your body, you're not going to do up and yonder. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology. I understand, but we got physics to prove it. Because flesh and blood cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That's Bible. Physics said everything, the electromagnetic, is a freaking wave that solidifies as a freaking particle. Particles don't exist. Waves do. You're a wave. Contrary to popular belief. Drop my exit stage left. Brothers and sisters, I could go on, but I need you to join me for my pay-per-view series that dealing with not only the legal structure of your body, which houses your spirit, for you to monetize it so that way you don't need no job. So if the government shut down, it don't affect you. You still bringing in money because you, why? You found your path, and that's going to allow you to last. You're able to provide a product, service, or information that benefits other people more than it benefits yourself. That's what I teach. If you're not part of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, you need to call me today. 210-290-5927. Leave a message or email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Email's better because then I can email you back. Email me today, masterteacher33@gmail.com. I will still honor the special that ended on January the 1st, which is the system costs $5,000 because it's the real deal. This ain't for shearings. This is for people who want to exit this stage left and return back to source to become one with the Father. If you're interested, email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com, so you can find your lot, you can find your share, you can find your destiny, and you can start fulfilling your destiny. And the way that you know that you feel you're fulfilling your destiny, because you're changing the life of men, and you're changing the life of women. Because why? That's what you put on this earth to do. First, you start with changing your own life. And then you start changing, and you have a positive effect on everybody's life. Even when you lose, you win. Even when you sin, you win. You could do something evil, and it still brings about good, because all things work together for my good. What the devil meant for evil, God turns it, and he uses it for my good. That's how good my God works. Now, I don't know what your God does, but for me, the way my savings account is set up, I always got money in there. Because why? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Brothers and sisters, when you get to this place of understanding, karma doesn't exist. Because why? Karma is a lower level law. All things work together for my good. That's just one expression, and it is omnibenevolent. It is always benevolent. My God is always good. There is no evil. Evil is the result of an ignorant God that is incapable of producing goodness. His name is Agathon. In the ancient text, A-G-A-T-H-O-N. If you want to destroy your theology, look that up. Agathon holds badness in him, and he releases it in you. It is time to transmute that entity and oscillate and vibrate with the prime creator, source, the big G, not the little. James chapter 3, all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. In him there is no variance or change. My God doesn't change. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. My God always sends out good. That's why I'm always blessed. That's why I'm always on the top. That's why even when I lose, I win. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Brothers and sisters, you need to get on board, so that way you can connect with true source. Again, for more information, make sure you email me, masterteacher33@gmail.com. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. At least that's what they tell us. And his son's name is Yahushua. The son always comes in the name of the Father. And he left a deposit in you called the Ruach, or the Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth. It will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. If you got a spirit that is manipulative or controlling, exit stage left. That's Lucene Farr. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paint up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God, or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make go. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
That right.
If you don't get it, press repeat and go, you'll find it.